Ronnie Lott's on the phone with us this afternoon. Here's a guy who put in 14 bone-jarring seasons in the NFL, playing for the 49ers and the Raiders and the Jets, and did some great work on TV through the years, and is going to be here in St. Louis tomorrow afternoon helping to promote the NFL Network. He'll be at the Union Station tomorrow afternoon between 4:30 and 5:30. Ronnie, welcome to KMOX.
Oh, man, awesome. This is awesome, man. Thanks for allowing me to come on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We're very happy to have you on here. In addition to the work you're doing for TV, let's talk some actual football here. What do you think of our Rams this year under Scott Linehan?
Well, first of all, let's start with Scott. I think Scott is trying to put in a system and trying to put in a platform that will allow this team to function and be a productive team. It's interesting because I had a chance to see them when they played the 49ers. And what you found there is you saw the creation of something that's trying to grow, trying to kind of blossom. And what you saw there was a team that had some stumbling blocks there. And the reason they had some stumbling blocks is because it's a new system. There are a lot of things that are new about what they're doing. So for me, watching that game, you could see that he's trying to put his fingerprints and trying to get his philosophy and trying to get things going in a direction that, you know, replicates what he wants. And that's the hardest thing about being a young coach. Last year I watched Coach Nolan go through it with the 49ers. He had his, you know, his ups and downs of trying to put his stamps on, trying to get what he needed to get done, and that's what Scott's going to go through. He is going to have some ups and downs because he's really trying to change the culture of that organization.
What is it like from your side of the football, the defensive side of the football, when you have a new defensive coordinator, as the Rams do with Jim Haslett, and he comes in here, and you're a veteran who's been there for a while, and he brings in a new system on the defensive side? How hard is that to adapt to?
Well, what's hard about that is that it, depending on the style of the player and depending on the speed of the player and depending on the characteristics of the player, Jim has been an experienced player, experienced head coach, experienced person being associated with the game of football. So he brings a lot of attributes. But even with that, there's a communication gap of what he has to then try to bridge, and that's bridging. Can he find guys that can really buy in to what he's talking about, understand what he's talking about, and then go out and implement it? Very difficult, because what ends up happening is that sometimes you hear certain things, you might have a certain cover or a certain experience of how you're looking at that offense, and you're saying in a certain formation you're going to do certain things. All of a sudden, your brain goes a little haywire because you think that the coach wants you to do this, and you end up doing something else, and what ends up happening is that you break down the integrity of the defense, meaning that all of a sudden you have an A gap, you take the B gap, the B gap is now taken by two people, the A gap is wide open, and that's what you saw a little bit when you watched the 49er game. There were times where they had certain plays stopped, but because of the integrity of the defense broke down, they were able to gain and come up with some big plays.
Ronnie, my sports guy, Kevin Wheeler's got a question for you.
Well, Ronnie, yeah, we're all following the Orlando Pace issue right now. He's got the concussion that he's dealing with, and I know the way concussions are treated now is significantly different even than when you played, which obviously wasn't even that long ago, and you were known as a big hitter. You knocked yourself out and an opponent out on the same play. Did you ever deal with that, with a serious concussion, and have you noticed a difference in the way the teams handle those things now?
Well, you got to believe that it's handled differently now, and the reason why is that what we're finding is that there are athletes like Troy Aikman, athletes like Steve Young, that when you look at them and you talk to them and you saw what they went through and then seeing what they went through and hearing what they went through, there's just more evidence of people wanting to be more cautious about how they handle situations like that. And because of that, I think what we're finding is that people are now being more cautious. And there was a time that there was a badge of honor if you did get knocked out, that you ran back on the field, and you ran back on the field because it was like being in a boxing match. Is that, hey, man, wait a minute, you knocked me down. Even though I'm a little woozy, I can still get back up and I can still continue to fight. And I think what you're finding now is that people, when you get knocked down, you get woozy, people are saying, wait a minute, let's give him the 10 count. And the 10 count might mean that it's not just 1 week. The 10 count might mean it could be a couple of weeks, because we want to make sure that you're okay, and we're trying to examine all the things that could possibly happen. And so that's where it's changed, is that the 10 count that you go through in football used to be, hey, they would give you literally, you know, the count of 10, and if you could find your helmet, you were back on the field.
Oh.
Now what they're giving you is the 10 count, and being very deliberate and very patient about making sure that you're actually okay to get back out there.
But what's weird is at the same time, you got Ben Roethlisberger getting back out there 2 weeks after an appendectomy. You know, Chris Sims is going to try to push it after having his spleen taken out. Isn't Sean Alexander, what, does he have a broken foot, Kevin?
Yeah, and he wants to play, but Mike Holmgren shot that down already.
And what's really fascinating about it is that it says a lot about the human body. And every athlete, and this is where we get in trouble, is that I remember watching a guy and you would say, man, if you hit him on the chin, he's got a glass chin. And that particular individual had a glass chin. And then you would see another great athlete, and you could hit him, and you could hit him, and you could hit him, and he wouldn't go down. And you're going, why wouldn't that guy go down? There are just certain attributes that people have, and I know for a fact that if I look at the attributes that Orlando Pace has, they are much different than what we have with other offensive tackles. But that doesn't necessarily mean that his chin or his head are going to be looked at the same way. His brain might function different. There are certain attributes, and what we're finding now, because of medicine allows us now to be a little bit deeper in terms of how we think about it, and so we can examine more stuff. There was a time where you just give somebody some smelling sauce and you would wake them up and they're back on the field. So you got to remember, I think technology and what we see today and what we've learned from guys like Troy and Steve and the things that they've talked about, and now where we're at today with football, and you look at the liabilities that we have out there, people are more cautious.
Yeah, this from a guy who once said, cut my fingertip off so I can play this weekend. Come on,
yeah,
Ronnie.
You know, and the funny thing about it, people always say, well, they walk up, they look at my finger and say, man, why would you do that? And what they don't understand about me, and there are some characteristics about me that are a little different from the standpoint of how I grew up. I'm a military kid, and you grow up in the military, and you understand sacrifices. You understand what it's like to be in situations where you have to be able to give of yourself. And that's why when you find people that go to war and that have been in Iraq, we honor them so much, is because we believe and know that they're protecting our country, but we also know that they're giving up a lot and sacrificing a lot. So for me, those elements were kind of the history of who I am. So there's a reason why that I would do that. But a lot of kids today and a lot of my friends today would say, hey, man, yeah, I hear you, but I wouldn't go to war, and by the way, I wouldn't cut off my fingers. So I understand those elements. I understand those elements, and I understand why people feel that way, but that's because of how that person looks at his life today.
Where is the fingertip, by the way, Ronnie?
Ew.
Yeah, I got it in my refrigerator.
No, you don't. Oh. No, you don't.
Talking with Ronnie.
You know what? It's a great memento.
Yeah. Bring it out for a conversation starter, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Sometimes I get a little I get a little lost, because there's somebody saying, is that something that we're getting ready to eat?
Yeah.
Cocktail weenies.
Cocktail weenies for dinner tonight, honey. Yeah. Talking with Ronnie Lott here on KMOX. Carol's got a question for you.
All right. We cannot talk to somebody with 4 Super Bowl rings with the kind of reputation that you have. Someone who's surely used to the celebrity side of the NFL as well as anyone in the game, without mentioning T.O.
Now, yeah, and you know what? And the thing that's amazing about that situation is this, is that we all have one thing in mind, at least I think we all do. And that is, first, you can sit here and say, God, you know, what happened? And the reason you can say that is that I would say that about a cat that's stuck up in a tree. You wonder why, and you try to figure that out. And the reason why you're trying to figure it out is because you're sympathetic. You would not like anyone to have that situation go through anyone, because that's just tough to deal with. Then on the other side, when you hear some of the things that we've heard, then it tells you, well, wait a minute, how did it get that big? you know, how did it go from, you know, committing suicide to now I wasn't in that situation. I was taking this medicine. And I think what ends up happening is that I'm sure, as we all know, you run to somebody's house. They call you, 911, man, I'm sick. I got this allergic reaction, blah, 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 blah. And before you know it, somebody hears that, and they can interpret that five different ways. And I know that some people in my neighborhood, they would interpret and say, what the heck was he taking the medicine for anyway?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, you start to come up with different conclusions. And I think what happened was somebody came up with a conclusion that, why would he be taking this much medicine? And, by the way, he had to be doing something that was trying to hurt himself. And knowing him and knowing how much he loves himself and knowing the kind of person he is and knowing how hard he works when he plays the game of football, it would be hard for me to believe that he would try to harm himself, because I think that that's not his characteristic. On the other side, you never know, and I was talking about it this morning with a friend of mine, you just never know in that moment of insecurity in life where we do things because we have those moments of insecurity.
Did you ever have any problems with painkillers and supplements?
I hope not.
Yeah, none that you know of at least yet, right?
You know, and the reason I say that I hope not is that, again, tolerance of pain, we all have different degrees of pain, and I've seen, you know, people that have had, you know, situations where they've gotten hooked on painkillers, and they've had, you know, problems with taking. One of the great, great football players, Kenny Easley, who was one of the all-time great football players, had complications with taking ibuprofen. And so you see those, or you hear about those type of things, but you really don't know how your body's going to take to it. And in this case, it sounds like his body did not take well to the type of medication that he was trying to take.
You know, I'm listening to you here this afternoon, and here's one thought that keeps going through my mind. Why isn't Ronnie Lott on TV every weekend?
Well, Ronnie Lott's not on TV every weekend because Ronnie Lott is trying to be a great dad.
Good answer.
And Ronnie Lott realizes this, is that what happened on Sunday, at least this past year, with my son, which is interesting, is he's 13. And he thinks that he can come out and make some woo hits, you know. And I don't know if you guys know what woo hits are, but
yeah.
Woo hits are when the, you know, fans, you hit somebody and everybody goes woo.
You mean like you used to? Yeah. He wants to be like dad.
And so all of a sudden he thinks I said, son, I'll come watch you. He goes, look, you got to come watch me. If you don't watch me, man, I'm only going to do this for so long because this woo stuff hurts. So I'm out there watching him on Sundays, and this is how our country has changed. I just did not know that football, kids football, Pop Warner football, would be played on Sundays. I always thought that was reserved for first our faith, but more importantly, I thought it was reserved as well for the things that we see on Sundays in terms of professional football. So,
but that's
what I'm doing now.
Are you going to be doing any stuff? I know you're coming into town tomorrow afternoon to help promote the NFL Network and get people to know that they're going to be doing live primetime games later on this year. Are you going to be doing any work for them?
Not at this time. It's funny because I love the NFL Network. I love watching it. I think it's great. It's amazing to me that you have places like St. Louis, they can't get it. Being a football fan and just knowing the fans in St. Louis and knowing what I know about the people who love sports in St. Louis, it's hard for me to believe that they can't see the NFL Network. I mean, one of my good friends, Tim Shannon, and obviously Mike Shannon's son, I mean, I can't believe that he's sitting there not watching the NFL Network, because that's what you do. I mean, if you're a sports fan, you love watching it. It's amazing to me that people can't see it, but I also know that they're trying to figure out ways to get people to watch it, encouraging people to switch over so they can, you know, get on DirecTV, that they can get on the Dish Network and check this thing out, because when you do see it, it's fun. I mean, if you're a true football fan, to kind of see what's happening, you know, behind the scenes, to hear about what's going on behind the scenes, and a Rod Woodson, speaking of a great defensive back, here's a guy that hosts the NFL Network and does a wonderful job, and I sit there watching him and just enjoy hearing about what's going on with the Rams, what's going on with the 49ers, what's going on around the league, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I like some of the stuff they do during the week where they take Sunday afternoon's games and compress them down and edit them down, and you can watch the whole game in like
it's
an
addictive.
Hour or 70 minutes.
Doesn't that say a lot about the game of football when you sit there and you can, I mean, I laugh because the other day somebody said, can you believe that they can, you know, the game is that short? I said, well, look, if we just watch all the defensive plays, the game would only be 4 minutes.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I looked that up once, Ronnie, with all the commercials up, a 60-minute clock. The game is only running. You run like 60 seconds of dead time before a play is running. Each play takes, what, like you said, 4 or 5 seconds, and that takes 3 hours on TV.
Yeah.
And that's why when I look at wrestling, and I have buddies that wrestle in the NCAA wrestling championships, they said that we were in better shape. And I said, yeah, I know why now. It's because you had to go 3 minutes every round. I only had to go 4 minutes.
All right, Ronnie's going to be at Union Station here in St. Louis tomorrow afternoon from 4:30 to 5:30. I'm sure you'll be signing autographs and talking up the NFL Network and all that sort of stuff, right?
Yes, sir. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. And if you guys get a chance, come on out and hang out with me for a good hour or two, and we'll have some fun over there.
Hey, it's a pleasure having you on. I hope we can do it again sometime.
I love it. I love to come back on. Great group of people. I really appreciate spending
Thank
time
you.
With you
Thank
guys.
You so much. Ronnie Lott here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.